I want to continue in our series on the Beatitudes because I felt it's such a relevant message. And as I read it at the beginning of the year, beginning with Matthew in the New Testament part of the reading, it just struck me, this is like Jesus' state of the kingdom message to his followers, to the believers, to Christians. This is what our life is supposed to be characteristic of, the life of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit. You could compare the Beatitudes with the fruit of the Spirit, the joy, the peace, the gentleness, the patience, the long-suffering, the meekness, the gentleness, all of those things, those characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5, that they so parallel with that. I said, this is what we're supposed to be, and little did we know that this would coincide with this period of time we're in, having to have drive-in church and live-streaming ever to you. And I would just want to really thank you and commend this congregation, all of you, those of you that are here on the parking lot, those of you that are watching at home. I forget the number last time they told me. When we first began, there was like 230-something people. We're peaking at like 800 and 900 people a week watching live stream. That's amazing. And we're just hoping, and I know we even have a new first-time guest here on the parking lot with us today from the neighborhood, and we welcome you. We welcome you. And we want you to know that this congregation is here to serve you, to bless you, to help you in whatever way we can. So with that, we hope that you will, I want to use two words, you'll connect with us and engage in this congregation, even when we go back inside of the building, that you'll come back and connect with us online during the week. Sylvia and I do a daily kind of like just connection with you and just to stay connected with scriptures and prayer. And then our other pastors, Pastor Rush, Pastor JR, Pastor Josue, and Pastor Greg, they're doing their teachings online. So there's a lot of things online to stay connected with us and stay engaged. So we're there. We are here for you. And that's what we're trying to do and trying to be for you. So whether you're a regular member or tender, or whether you're a first-time guest, we want to welcome you. And you that are watching live stream, please comment. Let us know you're there. Take a moment on the website and the app. Please fill out that virtual response and spiritual response card there, and hit submit button and send it in. We want to hear from you. We want to hear how we can help you, how we can serve you. And again, there's that free resource tab on the website. Go and hit that, and it'll tell you there's a lot of areas that you can find help if you need that kind of help, for food, for shelter, for doctor. There's a Lackey Free Medical Clinic that they have opened the doors and opened their venue to even help more people that need medical assistance during this time. So there's a lot of good things that you'll find on there. And then as we hear different things, we add to that list. So please take advantage of that. We want to serve you. So amen to that. Well, my message today, again, is from Matthew 5. And I'd like to take, and we talked about, Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, last week. Anybody remember that? It's a probably a really delightful message for me to minister, because we talked about meekness was bringing strength under control and using it for good, productive, positive reasons. And I use the illustration about a horse, and that's really the most usable illustration that there is. And I won't go there again, but that's why I liked it, because I've seen that in a horse's life. They are a powerful animal. They can't even hurt you, not meaning to hurt you, just by their power. But once they're trained in, from the actual Greek and Latin word, is getting used to the hand. And when a horse gets used to the hand, the human touch, and gets used to being bridled and wearing the bit in its mouth, that horse comes in, that strength, that flag's beating me, that strength of that horse that really could hurt you, that strength of that horse, appeal to heaven. Amen. That strength of that horse comes under good control. And either the horse can do work, or the horse can be used for pleasure purposes to ride and things like that. So I want to go a little bit further today and look at four people in the Bible, both Old and New Covenant, that they are great examples for us here today in our times of meekness and strength under control. So let's look at those. Matthew 5:5 again. Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And I want to use the subtitle, "Freedom from Ourselves." Because when we surrender ourselves to Christ, to the Lord Jesus, His Lordship, and we allow our wildness or our sinfulness or our uncontrollableness to come under the control of His Holy Spirit, we become very useful, very productive. Our life takes on a whole new meaning, very productive in the hands of the Lord. So meekness, again, is strength brought under control through submission. And again, that submission means we submit our mission to the mission of someone else. And of course, that's the Lord Jesus Christ in the context we're talking today. So I want to, as I said, mention four people in the Bible. I want us to look at Moses, David, Paul, and then, of course, Jesus. So when we look at Moses' life, you're going to see a word that depicts each one of them of how they brought their potential for being rebellious or wild or out of control, how they brought it under the control of the Lord under a different circumstance in their life. So today, through these four examples, you and I are going to see together, and you'll probably find yourself in one of these, if not all of these examples. So here we go. Moses displayed meekness when he was opposed. You remember Moses was, the Bible says in Numbers 12:3, Moses was very meek, more than all the people who were on the face of the earth. The Bible described Moses as the meekest person on the face of the earth. That didn't mean he was a pushover. That did not mean he was a wimp. That did not mean that he did not have a strong personality. He did. He had all of that, but he brought all of that wildness, all of that he had under the control of the Lord and submitted himself. Now, here's just some of the things Moses went through. This is not all a conclusive list by any means. But number one, Moses was called by God out of a very comfortable lifestyle in Egypt. He was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. He had it made. He possibly was going to be the next Pharaoh in line to lead the nation of Egypt. But it says that God revealed to him and stirred in his heart. Of course, his mother raised him and put within him his destiny. And Moses knew there was something even greater than being a ruler in Egypt that God had for his life. So he was called out of that very comfortable life of the Egyptian lifestyle to lead a bunch of slaves to freedom. They were his people. And then we see that God used him powerfully to stretch out his hand, the rod, to divide the Red Sea in Exodus 14:16. We see that he threw the branch into the poison waters of Marah to make it drinkable for the people. Remember, they were whining and complaining and griping. "You brought us out here in the desert to die in the desert without water, without food. And it would have been better we stayed in Egypt." Anybody got family members? Don't honk your horn. Anybody got family members like that? They're always whining. No matter what, don't honk your horn. They may be in the car with you. You may give it away. But he threw the branch into the waters of Marah and brought it to be sweetness that it was drinkable. And then he prayed down daily provision for them in the form of manna to be able to feed them. You would have thought the people would have been grateful and thankful to Moses. Amen. Now you can honk your horn there. But that's not what happened. We know the story. They complained. They were bitter. And then at one point in Exodus 17:4, they were even focusing and talking about it and planning, "Let's stone him. Let's kill him. Let's get rid of him." After all that God had used him to bring good upon the people and the promises of God to lead them into a promised land, they would turn upon him. It just shows the fickleness of human nature. So, you know, if it had been you or me, if it had been me, at some point I might have said something like this: "That's it. I quit. I'm just going to let the Lord have his way and do what he wants to do with you." You know, the Lord said, "Moses, get out of the way. Step aside. I'm going to wipe them out, and I'm going to raise up a whole new generation that's going to follow you in the promised land." What did Moses do? Moses literally got in between God and the people and said, "If you're going to kill them, kill me." And Moses interceded. That's a real picture of intercession. So when Moses was opposed, by the very people he loved, and he was trying to do them good and lead them into good. He was opposed by them. He displayed a spirit of meekness. He could have said to God, God, go ahead with your plan. Wipe them out. Let's get plan B going. Let's raise up a whole another generation. We're going to have to wait a few more years. But what's that to me? I'm 80 years old. He lived to be 120 years old. Time didn't matter with God. God could have sustained him. But Moses was different. He was meek. And instead of lashing out against them, what did he do? He prayed for them. He interceded for them. He continued to serve them, even offered to lay down his own life for them. And that's found in Exodus 32:32. That is strength under control. Meekness, even when you're opposed. Now, you know, what's your situation? What's your situation here today? Possibly there's someone in your life that should be grateful, should be thankful to you, but they complain, they gripe, they whine about you or the circumstances that they're in. They mutter behind your back, they backbite you, and that is very frustrating. It's very exasperating, and it's even devastating to us. But Moses modeled this submission, placing his mission in subjection to God's mission for God's people. And by giving himself to the purposes of God, Moses was the meekest man that lived on the face of the earth, an example of strength under control. Let's look at the life of David. Moses was meekness under being opposed. David displayed meekness when he was provoked. Anybody in here been provoked before by somebody? I thought so. In 2 Samuel 16, it's the account when Absalom, David's son, rebelled against him, tried to take over the kingdom. They anointed Absalom to be king, and word got back to David, and David said, we're in trouble, guys. And so instead of fighting them, David had such a love for his son Absalom, instead of fighting him, David could have wiped him out. David could have snuffed his life out. David had the manpower. David's men had the willpower. They had the devotion and the loyalty to David as king. But instead of doing that, it says David fled from his throne in Jerusalem, all because of Absalom's rebellion. But all along the way, there was one citizen that continually harassed and mocked and provoked David. You know what? There can be five people that love you dearly, but if there's one person that's an aggravating torment to you, they stand out more than anybody else. Can you get an amen there? People can come and be on your side, and you know it's true, and you know they love you, and they show it, and they demonstrate it. But if there's one person, they stick out greater and stronger than anybody else. And this one citizen came after David and all of his men. He came cursing David. He threw dirt in the air at him, and even threw stones at him as they were leaving in a very processional out of Jerusalem to find safety. This is found in 2 Samuel 16. It was one of David's devoted men said, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go and take his head off. I know nobody here listening to me has ever felt like taking somebody's head off. Don't honk your horn. You know, it would have been so easy. It would have been easy. He wouldn't have even had to said anything. All he had to do, could have just nodded Bashai. Followed the orders and wiped Shimei out. Just one word from the king could have dealt with this one that was causing all of this torment and provoking them. But in verse 11, it said, David showed meekness towards Shimei. He said, let him alone, let him curse. Maybe God will do something for me, seeing my innocence in this. Wow. All as a king and a mighty warrior in his own right, what he chose to do, he chose to suffer and endure, putting up with the attitude of this common citizen, this rabble-rouser, one who is provoking a situation to make it worse, to stir up trouble and make life even more miserable for David, who is already going through a lot of torment and rejection and sadness because of his son's attitudes towards him. You can relate to this, I'm sure. Surely you've had somebody in your life at some time that's acted this way towards you. When you're down, when you're having a problem, when you're going through something, a trial in your life or an issue in your life, or things are going in reverse in your life, that somebody's there to provoke you even worse. And you feel like, if I could take their head off, it just would make me feel better. If I could just deal with that one person and shut their mouth, I would feel so much better. But David, putting up with all of this, shows the real inner character of meekness that he had. Strength as of a king, strength of a powerful ruler, brought under submission and control that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to exhibit. It also reflects the patience, kindness, and the meekness of God towards you and I today. The Bible says we have all sinned. We all come short, fall short of God's glory. If God today were to give every one of us here in this parking lot or listening live streaming what we deserve, we'd have been gone a long time ago. It would be so easy. It would be so easy for God to crush us as sinners, as those that have rebelled against his will and not followed him with all of our heart. You know, not shown respect to the Lord, set ourselves up against him to dishonor God. And for some reason that sometimes is certainly beyond our understanding, God allows a person into our life that provokes us. We don't like it. It's not comfortable. It doesn't feel good. But I want to remind you, God's not after your comfort. God's after development of your character. And we have to go through things like this in order to bring out the better that God has in us. You know, it's like a tube of anything. Whatever's inside that tube, when you squeeze it or put it under pressure, it's going to come out. That's the way you are. You and I are in our spirit. What is ever inside of us, when we get under pressure, that is what's going to come out. If there's love and joy and meekness, that's what will come out. If there's anger, resentment, and violence, that is what's going to come out when we're under pressure. And sometimes we don't even realize what's still residing in our heart and our spirit. And the Lord wants to put us under pressure in order to reveal to us what's really there so he can deal with it, and we'll come to him and admit it and confess it and let him deliver it from us. He's got a good plan for you. It's not to hurt you. It's to help you. So for some reason, God puts those people in our life to oppose us as Moses was opposed and to provoke us as David was provoked. Now, the third person I want to mention to you today is Paul, the Apostle Paul. Paul demonstrated meekness when he was disappointed. I bet there's nobody in this crowd, either in a drive-in church or listening to us last night. I bet nobody here has ever been disappointed in their life. Everything has always gone your way. People have always followed your plan. People have always been in agreement for you. I probably am just preaching to the light pole or something, or maybe myself. But Paul displays characteristic, this fruit of the Spirit, meekness when he was disappointed. When we look at Paul's life, when he became a Christian, Paul worked as diligently, if not harder, towards promoting the gospel than he ever did in trying to destroy and persecute Christians. He worked hard in the cause of evangelism and church planting and apostleship and training. He endured extraordinary hardships. Just read the epistles about what he went through. And all for the sake of others. He didn't do it for his own sake. He did it for the sake of others who found Christ through that ministry. And yet, on top of it all, Paul would humbly ask for prayers. He'd ask for help. He'd ask for encouragement of other believers, as it's revealed in the letters that he wrote to the congregations. He would always appeal to them, please pray for me. Pray that I'll deliver the word of God boldly. Pray that I will, you know, have the right spirit. Pray that I'll come in the spirit of humbleness and love and humility. Mostly, Paul was blessed with the help and the support that he needed to support the gospel. He had all kinds of people that helped him. But there were times when other, even Christians and other people, opposed him, let him down, and certainly disappointed him. We find a record of that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul referenced Alexander the coppersmith. Paul said, he did me much harm. So we see that everybody in Paul's life did not always agree with him, but they did things that disappointed him and even opposed him and caused trouble. And then in verse 16 of that same chapter, 2 Timothy 4, Paul talks about the first time he was in trial. He said there was, in his first trial, there was surprise and disappointment came when none of his fellow believers showed up to support him. Maybe some of you have had that experience. Maybe some of you have had to go to court. Maybe some of you were in a situation that you needed the support of a brother or sister family-wise, or a brother or sister in this kingdom-wise. You needed the support of somebody, but when you made an appeal, nobody made the effort to be there with you and support you. That's a bad feeling, a feeling of great disappointment. And so Paul knows what it was like. Of course, Jesus knows what it's like. I guess every human being knows what that's like. So he said, at my first offense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. Imagine the feeling of disappointment that Paul experienced. You and I have invested in the relationships in other people's life just like Paul did. We've given ourselves, I'm sure, in this crowd today and listening live stream and other times, I'm sure that we have given our time, labor, effort, and resources for the benefit of others. Maybe it's been for a family member, maybe a son or a daughter, maybe for a parent, maybe for a family member, maybe for a friend, maybe for a stranger. We've invested in relationships and given yourself for their benefit, but when you had a need, they were nowhere to be found. Disappointment is a seedbed of bitterness for the soul. So we need to be careful not to allow that root of disappointment and bitterness to get a hold of us. But look at Paul's response. And this is just one example, but here's Paul's response in verse 16 of that same chapter, 2 Timothy 4. His response of meekness said this: at my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. But here's the point: may it not be charged against them. That's the spirit of meekness coming through the life of Paul. He could have started whining, griping, fussing, being negative, berating other believers, said, you sorry bunch of low-down, low-lifes. I gave my life for you. I gave up my resources for you. I've traveled from my home to be with you in this faraway place to do nothing but to preach Christ to you and bring healing to you. And I've done all this for you, but he didn't go there. He said, even though none of you came and showed up, and even though my heart was disappointed and broken and I felt deserted and abandoned, his prayer was and his statement was, may it not be laid a charge against you. In the spirit of meekness, a wrong may happen, and it will happen to your life as you live in this life. There's no way to avoid it. But when the one who's been wrong seeks the spirit of meekness, it's seeking the good of those that brought disappointments. And then the last today, fourth example, is Jesus himself. Moses was meekness when opposed. David was meekness when challenged, when he was provoked. Paul was meekness when disappointment. Jesus showed meekness when he suffered. In some form or fashion, all of us have already suffered as being a child of God. I believe personally that we're probably going to suffer more before Jesus returns. I don't believe we're going through the great tribulation, but I do believe, and I'm prepared my heart and my mind, that whatever happens, Lord, I'm going to endure to the end and be faithful to you by your grace. It's by his grace. By his grace. But Jesus shows us meekness in suffering. He's a supreme example of strengths brought under control. 1 Peter gives us an insight. 1 Peter 2:23 says, when Jesus was reviled, when he was spoken evil about, Jesus, it says, went about doing good to everybody. Never had a negative, bad word, action towards anybody. But when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he continued entrusting himself to him, the Heavenly Father, who judges justly. I want to encourage you when you leave today to look up 1 Peter 2:23, especially if you're going through some form of suffering and you need this spirit of meekness to operate in your life. I'm encouraging you today. There have been times literally in my life, and I'm sure there will be other times, but there was an intense time in my life. I won't go into detail because time's running out on me. But I have had to look to this verse, and I thank God for the written word of God, because it showed me the example that when Jesus, who did right, who only had it in his heart to do good towards people and bless people. When he did it, he was reviled, but he did not revile in return. And when he suffered, he did not threaten. Well, that's good, but how did he handle it? How do you handle being reviled? How do you handle being threatened? How do you handle being opposed? How do you handle being persecuted? How do you handle it? Here's the answer right here. He continually entrusted himself to God who judges justly. That's how we're going to handle it. That's how Jesus handled it. That's the example. That's the model. It's not easy. I didn't say it was easy, but that's the model. That's the example that Jesus gives to us. He entrusted himself continually to God who knew the truth and God who would bring justice into the situation and to the God that will reward those that are faithful to God. Jesus knew that. He committed himself to that. The soldiers mocked Jesus as well as the people, the very men that nailed him to the cross that were inspired to do that by the Jewish crowd, the thieves that hurled their insults against him, the crowds who laughed at him in his suffering. With perfect justice and power, Jesus could have administrated judgment. As a matter of fact, they challenged him to do that. If you're the Son of God, if you're who you say you are, come off the cross and prove it. He could have administrated judgment. He could have displayed supernatural strength and power. But instead, he cried out to the Father in Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them. They do not know or understand what they're doing. How was Jesus able to accomplish this? Again, in 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins, his body on the tree. Meekness involves bearing the sins of others and absorbing the injuries that they inflict on. Now, I didn't say we die for their sins. Only Jesus can do that. But meekness involves you and I putting up with the sins of other people against them, but us responding with meekness towards them. Responding with that, we don't charge them. We don't aggravate back to them. We don't provoke them. We don't take them out. We don't maybe sue them. We don't attack them. But we pray, Father, forgive them because they really don't understand what they're doing. You can especially make that claim when you're innocent before the Lord. And it's the time when you search your heart and say, God, if there's any sin in me, forgive me. But when you don't have sin in your heart, you can pray that and you can release people. This is the only hope that you and I have breaking an endless cycle of retaliation that we would struggle with. We live in a land of lawsuits where civility has been lost. You see attack ads and websites have become the pattern of the world, and it's increasingly even filtered its way into our lives as the body of Christ, as Christians. We desperately, as God's people, need to recover the spiritual fruit and character of meekness of spirit so that we can inherit the earth, like Jesus said. Now, here's the key to tie three of these together, of the Beatitudes, the first three. You cannot just start by deciding, oh, I'm going to be meek. It doesn't start there. You can't be meek until you first realize the first Beatitude of Matthew 5:3, blessed are those who realize they're poor in spirit. Do you remember that? Poor in spirit means you don't have in yourself what it takes to please God, to glorify God. You don't have it all together yet yourself. So you come to the Lord, admitting that to the Lord. Lord, I'm poor in spirit. I don't have everything I need in myself. And then it leads, that poor in spirit will lead to the next beatitude found in Matthew 5:4. Blessed are those that mourn in spirit, for they shall be comforted. When you mourn in spirit, that means you sorrow, you grieve over your own sin. You're sorry for it. Sorry for it that you let godly sorrow lead you to repentance. God doesn't want you condemning yourself forever. God doesn't want you beating yourself up forever. God doesn't want you feeling sorry for yourself forever or dejected forever. God wants you simply to admit you're poor in spirit, realize and mourn over your sin, and then confess it to him and receive his love, his mercy, his grace, and the cleansing power of the blood. That's why he said, for you will be comforted. You're going to be comforted by the Lord's mercy, grace, and righteousness when you realize you're poor in spirit and you mourn over that and you come to the Lord. And then that leads to this third one where Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those that realize they're poor in spirit. Blessed are those that are willing to mourn sorrow over their brokenness, sin, and failures, but come to the Lord and give it to the Lord. Blessed are those that are meek, that will bring their strength, their retaliation, their effort to strike out and strike back. But you'll bring that strength that you have under submission to God's mission of mercy, grace, love towards people. Listen, this is the fruit of the Spirit. This is what the world right now needs to see out of you and I. I believe we have a right as Americans to stand up for our Constitution. But I also believe that we have a right to obey the Constitution of the Kingdom. And that Constitution of the Kingdom comes before even the American Constitution. A lot of people don't understand that. But you're a kingdom citizen even greater than you're an American citizen. So don't get caught up. Don't allow your spirit, your heart get caught up with the anger that's going on right now. I've had to fight that myself, to be honest with you. Anger of this. Thank God we get to do this. But and we're learning. We're not just learning how to handle this. We're not just learning media techniques. But we're learning that that's not the church. You are. We're learning that our calling is to reach out to people that are hurting with the love of God. We didn't intend for this to happen, but people in this neighborhood, not just through the radio, people in this neighborhood are hearing these very services. I don't know where the lady is today. She may be at work. Sylvia went to a place yesterday, and it was a grocery store, and somehow the conversation at the register God on Sylvie says, well, we're pastors and we're doing drive-in church. She says, oh, I know. I hear you. I live in the neighborhood. She said, I hear you. She said, I hear you giving opportunities for people to be prayed for. Maybe they're here today. I don't know. If they are, I'd love the opportunity to meet them. Listen, you and I are the church. God help us that when we do go back in this building, number one, that we won't ever take meeting together for the Lord granted again. But before we ever go back to that building, I believe God's trying to work in our heart. He's trying to cause us to have a new passion and compassion to love people around us. They're scared. They're afraid. They're frightened. When you don't have the Lord in your life, there is no source of comfort. Oh, they think it's a bottle. They think it's a drink. They think it's a pornographic site. They think it's a wrong relationship. They think it's some kind of drug, or they think it's some kind of hobby. Well, the Lord's kind of cut all that out. The Lord's kind of made all that hard to do. You can't go to the show and drown your sorrows in watching the same movie, sitting there watching it. You can't even, you can do it at home now, but the Lord's kind of narrowed the playing field in order to get our attention. May the Lord touch you and I, World Outreach Worship Center, and those listening. May the Spirit of Almighty God touch our hearts, that we disconnect from some of the things that have distracted us from kingdom work. I'm telling you, folks, I sound like a broken record, but I'm going to say it. We are in the last days. They had an earthquake in Los Angeles, 3.3, early this morning. You say, well, that's just another one. It's just another of many. It's happening all around the world. Famine, pestilence, earthquakes, wars, everything Jesus talked about. Don't take it for granted. Say, well, I've read that. I've read that through the years. I've read that for decades. So have I. But never in our life have we seen things culminating like they are now. There is nothing except for the completion of the preaching of the gospel to those that have never heard Jesus. There's nothing left remaining of prophecy to be fulfilled for Jesus to come except for the gospel to be preached into all the world, all the nations. Jesus said, then the end will come. God is patient, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. That's why he's long-suffering. Today, as we close in prayer, again, if you want prayer, I ask you to remain and stay here after others have left. Turn your flashers on, your emergency flashers, and leave them on. And we have several from the prayer team. We have more today than we've had that they will be here to minister to you. If you'll just stay here, remain where you are. You might, after the crowd kind of thins up, you might even want to drive a little closer so they don't have to reach out to you so far away in the parking lot, whatever. But they want to pray for you. And if you want prayer, that's what they want to do. If you want ministry to you and you need ministry, whatever it is, healing, whatever it is, salvation, whatever it is. And again, please do fill out the virtual card on the web and the app. Let us know what God does to touch you. We want to know that. We want to track that. And when I say track it, we want a record of it so we can rejoice in the Lord. Let me close with this one statement from Alexander McLaren, who's a from the days gone by, a very famous Bible scholar and interpreter, translator. He said this about meekness. He said, how different our claims upon other people would be if we possessed an estimate of what we really are. How our arrogance and insisting on what is due us would all disappear. I can say amen to that. How different our claims upon others would be, our expectations of others would be, if we really understood and had a proper estimate of what we really are. Many times we think, well, I'm doing just great. But many times our arrogance and insisting on what is due with us or due for us, it would disappear. Father, I pray today in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Father, allow your word today of Matthew, the words of Jesus himself, the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that mourn over their sin and failures, not to stay there, but admit it and confess it and receive the righteousness and mercy, grace and forgiveness. And Lord, blessed are those that meek, that we bring all of our sense of everything that's wronged us, and we want to fight, or we want to strike out, or we want to prove ourselves innocent, or we want the person, Lord, to pay it back. May we bring all of our strengths, oh God, under the great hand of the Lord and humble ourselves before you, God, and exhibit the fruit of the Spirit of God. Lord, touch us, your people, that, Lord, others would see Jesus. Lord, as I heard that testimony yesterday, that somebody, because of their lifestyle and the way that they lived in a workplace, that lady that shared with us at the funeral, Lord, shared us this testimony, Lord, about one of her family members. He was a believer and he was a good man. And when he walked into areas where people were cursing and taking the name of the Lord in vain, and where people were telling dirty, filthy jokes, and coarseness was going on and vulgarity, that he just in a very soft and kind way and said, please, please, don't take the name of my Lord in vain like that. Please don't curse the name of my Lord. Just his simple pureness, his gentleness, his honesty, his integrity, even his respect for them. He didn't lambast them. He didn't go in there telling them they were all going to hell. But he went in there just appealing to them. And through his gentleness, his meekness, he won them to Jesus. When he passed away, they said, I came to the Lord because of his kindness and his gentleness to me and how he spoke about Jesus to me. God, may that be said of every one of us, not after our death, but now while we're alive, now while we have a chance to minister to people, Lord. I pray, oh God, for people today that are listening, live streaming, those that have called in, those that are archiving, those that are right here in this parking lot. Holy Spirit, this is an hour, this is a day, this is a time that you're looking for those, oh God, that will be faithful to you and serve you, Lord, in humility, in purity, that, oh God, forgive us of our sins and our iniquities and our trespasses. Lord, clean your church up, clean us up, so that, Lord, we can be the witness for you, the example, oh God, that when we speak, people would say, I respect you because I know you live the life. You walk the walk and not just talk the talk. So, Father, touch and empower us today. Cleanse us and forgive us. We're sitting in our cars. We're sitting at home. We're listening from somewhere. We ask you, Holy Spirit, even now, as Pastor Larry leads us in this, do a work in our hearts. Before you leave today, would you just allow, Pastor Larry's going to lead us in worship. Would you just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you just for a couple of moments here? Now's the time to shift our thinking to kingdom thinking. Now's the time to raise our expectations. Now's the time to see our hopes turn into reality. Now is the time to be steadfast and unmovable. Now is the time. Now is the time. Father, I pray over your people today. I pray may Adonai bless you. May the Lord keep you. May Adonai make his face to shine upon you and show you his favor. May Adonai lift up his face towards you and bless you with his shalom, his peace. In the name of the Father, the wonderful Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, and the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh. In Jesus' name, I pray your week be blessed with his favor, with his mercy, with his love, with his provision, with his grace. Most of all, with a new passion to share him with those that you reach out to and you're able to communicate with. In Jesus' name. As you leave today, they'll receive your... Come on, praise him. Let's go. Let's do it if you're going to do it. On your way out, if you would, your tithe, your offering, the ushers there, thank you, those that are at the exits. If you have a guest card to turn in, you can turn that in also. Again, our virtual card online, website, and the app. Please do fill that out. Let us know of your presence here today. If you're a guest or the Lord has done something wonderful for you today and touched you in a blessed way. Again, if you want prayer, remain here. Turn your flashers on. If those that are on the prayer team, if you're going to be a part, just let us get through the offering part and clear the parking lot off of some of the help there, and then we'll get out and... We'll take care of the needs of those that want prayer. We love you. We bless you. Praying for you every day. We'll see you tomorrow on our little broadcast as Sylvia and I come to you. And again, I just want to thank all those that help us today out here in the parking lot and setting up, doing all they are doing. Would you give them a thanks too? Thank you. God bless. We love you.